My heart happy work is with plants and making plant medicine. I really believe that there's so much that we're missing that the earth has for us, and I've been involved with this for, since early 90s, and I've had so many people that have helped me and taught me and shared their knowledge. And it's been a journey with the Kuskokwim campus, because as I was pursuing my bachelor's, people were aware that this was something that I was really interested in and that we could build on. And after I got my bachelor's, I got more into it. I had an opportunity to travel to Hawaii to do deeper studies in ethnobotany. And this is my opportunity to share with new people what I know. And I've been involved, since 07, with the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and they're developing the ethnobotany program.
And so you called this your heart happy work. What do you mean by that?
It just makes my heart happy to work with plants and to make things, to experiment. Since I've been in the ethnobotany program, I've learned enough so that I can expand what I do and have done with plants to a more research-based kind of exploration.
What were your first experiences with plants?
I can't remember plants not being important. I had a grandma that just did things. And I didn't ask her, and some of the things she did involved plants. So I knew there was some mystery involved, and then later on found out that the wormwood, we call it jaitluk, has always been the medicine of our people, and use it for cough medicine, use it for tea. The ayuk tea, always, if you feel like you have a bad cold, drink some of that. So those were just kind of the basic foundations, and I guess it was enough to build on.
So you grew up, like, the medicine cabinet was the tundra?
Well, just for certain things, yeah. But most of the time we went to the hospital for stuff. But I don't remember that we got sick very often unless it was cold or something. And then personally, when my son was small, he was always getting some kind of, he was always getting something respiratory. And I didn't like bringing him to the hospital, so I just brew up a batch of stinkweed tea and strain it and put it in the fridge and give him a dose of that preventative, maybe a quarter of a cup every day. It's a real bitter brew, so it was a challenge to get him to drink that. But it helped. And then when my niece Katie May had this real bad problem with diaper rash, I thought again about the jaitluk and the tea thing, which seemed to be what people did, or a poultice at that, whenever they used it before, and I knew that wasn't gonna work, because it would be messy, and there's busy school teachers with little kids, so I had to do some research and find out what other people had done before I could start experimenting with the salves. And the very first one I made was the jaitluk, and it worked.
How old are you?
I just turned 60. I just turned 60. My mom just turned 80, and I just turned 60.
And you said that you don't want to be called yet an elder with a big E. What did you mean by that?
The big E elders are so smart. and they know so much. They've lived so much closer to our native ways than I've ever been able to. And they have so much to share. And I just only know this much. That's all. I have so much more to learn. But what I do know is I'll share. I'll share what I know. As long as it's helping people.
Do you think that just the way that the culture has progressed or the way that it's evolved, that anyone then can be a Big E elder?
No. In order to be respected, you have to be respectable. And sometimes it takes courage and a certain amount of knowing how important it is to share, to take that step. But most of all, you have to believe it's going to help somebody. And I've been so blessed all my life that there's always been old people watching over me, taking care of me. Yeah. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the elders. So I'm a little E.
And why is this sharing so important to you?
I think that's who we are. That's part of just who we are as people. I tell people we can't not share, because it can't come back if you don't give it away.
And why did you decide to go and get a bachelor's?
There's so much to learn. I just want to keep learning. And it's a journey. I feel pulled in different directions, and having gone through the process of getting my degree, I've learned how to think. I've learned how to process. I've learned how to research. I've learned that the power of knowledge is power. Yes. And it has definitely helped me in helping to bring an awareness to our people over some of these huge issues that we're dealing with.
So how have you used those reasoning powers?
I write articles for the Delta Discovery. And I try to, for the big issues that I feel like there needs to be someone to speak for, against, whatever, that sometimes, no matter how hard it is to step up to that microphone, and God knows how many times I've run out of spit, but somebody has to take that step, because then other people will speak too.
And what is it that you're speaking about, writing about?
Right now, my passion is protecting our land, our resources, our people, empowering our people.
As you're writing, as you're speaking, do you find that it's effective? Do you feel like you're making change?
I'm not so much as interested in making change. I just want people to make informed decisions and to know that not everything they're hearing is always the truth. The decisions that they're pressured into making, these knee-jerk decisions, they need to ask questions. People need to ask and not be afraid to ask questions of the leadership of this region, of the leadership in the villages, of leadership, period. Because it's the leaders that are representing the people and that can guide the people. And I believe the power is in empowering the tribal councils.
And with this ethnobotany program, what year was it that you took the program?
I started seriously studying toward the certificate program in 08.
And how much do you have left to do to complete it?
I think I'm almost done. I'm hoping to get done this fall.
And what is it that you learned about Bethel, about this tundra that you grew up on through taking this class?
There's even all the more reason to protect it. It's not just tundra. Every one of these plants that I see has something in it for us. There's medicine all over. There's food. You look at the earth with different eyes when you understand that there's a deeper connection between all living things.
So what's your plan for going ahead? If once you get this certification, what do you plan to do?
That's another mystery. I don't know where it's going to take me, but I'm along for the ride. And it's an opportunity to learn more, and I'm along for the ride, and I'll just go where it takes me.
And how have you seen Bethel, the tundra around here, change over the decades?
It's hard to describe unless you're here all the time. When I was growing up, springtime and fall time in the roads, it was just miserable. There was not many roads in the first place. There was not very many vehicles. This was a runway where this road is, and the river. But the creeping up, what do they call it, the wooding of the Arctic, has made a big difference, and I'd say the biggest difference has occurred over the past 20 or so years. And I would attribute that mostly to climate change. The winds, the growth.
So you mentioned the wooding of the Arctic. What are specific changes that you've seen?
More trees. A lot more trees. Things that don't normally grow or didn't normally grow here. They're all over the place. We just had a little shrubby stuff when I was growing up.
And then people are already out there harvesting gallons and gallons of blueberries and salmon berries right now. And I've heard that that's coming earlier and earlier this year. What have you observed?
We would normally be doing this the middle to the end of July. We started summer at the 1st of May. So this is very unusual, this whole weather. I was jokingly telling somebody, are we going to have winter in August and then have summer again in December? The weather is just so unpredictable, even from one year to the next.
How does that affect people with the seasons changing like that, where things are happening earlier and kind of the rhythm and the pace of life is being altered?
I think it affects your ability to prepare. Yeah. Especially when you're used to doing things at a certain time. This is the time to do this, to do this, to do this. And it's not that way anymore. We don't normally pick salmon berries and blueberries at the same time. Usually we get our fish, take care of our fish, smoke it. Soon as they're done being smoked, then the berries are ready. Then we focus on the berries. First the salmon berries, then the blueberries. Then we got the silvers. And that next bunch of fish that we got to take care of. Then we have moose hunting. So the seasons are out of sync.
And what does that do to people psychologically?
I have no idea, but I'm sure it has some psychological not only psychological but physiological effects on them.
Have you observed anything with yourself?
Oh, yeah. Right now, I should be picking berries instead of taking an EBOT class. And when we first moved back home in 97, my husband was becoming quite concerned about my demeanor, the demeanor he'd never seen in his, all the time that we'd been involved in a relationship, how it was affected by my ability to maybe not have salmon or salmon berries. He said he never saw me act like that in all the years we've been together, and I said, I'm sorry, but be forewarned. If I can't get my fish or if I can't get my berries, I'm going to be a crazy woman.
Why is that?
Because something is wrong. I've been picking berries all of my life. I've had berries all of my life. I've had fish all of my life. And if I don't have it, something is really wrong and out of whack with my life. Because it's my life.
What do you hope that the students here take away from this class?
Good stuff. I want them to appreciate that there's diversity everywhere, and wherever the creator put us, he gave us everything we need. We just need to look around and be more aware that we're all connected.